Okay, welcome back tonight to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We are inside the Quicken Loans Studios, and right now we're going to take our next conversation. We're packing our bags. We're going to head to Detroit and go around the horn and get the pulse on the Tigers and the team's trajectory as we are now just past the midpoint of the season. It is such a pleasure to have with us this evening Detroit Tigers television voice Mario Impemba. Thank you for the time, Mario. Good evening.
Well, thank you very much. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's nice and hot down here in Houston, so we're certainly enjoying the baseball season. And we knew coming into 2014 that there were very big expectations for the Tigers. They demonstrated that during the first half of the season, that they're the best team in the AL Central. But I'd love for you to break it down for our casual fans, our casual baseball fans tonight, what we have learned about the Tigers so far.
Well, I think what we learned is that they're a very streaky team and have been at the beginning of the season. They broke out at 27-12, and it looked like they might run away with the Central Division. Then all of a sudden, they went 9-20, and people were starting to wonder, well, what's going on? You know, guys like Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer, were having a couple of clunker starts, and all of a sudden, you know, the rest of the pack came back for the Tigers, and that big lead had dissipated, and then they got hot again. So, this is a team that ultimately I think has the best pitching in the Central Division. You know, they have maybe the best player in Miguel Cabrera. They have Victor Martinez, who's doing a terrific job this year offensively as the designated hitter, and a lot of other veteran guys like Torrey Hunter and Ian Kinsler on this team. So I think really top to bottom, once you play a 162-game schedule, the best overall team, the deepest overall team ends up winning. And I think ultimately that's going to be Detroit. But, you know, there are a couple of teams in the Central. Kansas City won't go away. Cleveland is always going to be tough. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the second half.
The television voice for the Detroit Tigers, Mario Impemba, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. You're exactly right. The Tigers did get off to a fast start, going 27-12, and then they hit that difficult stretch and really revealed that streaky nature, as you just alluded to. Kind of give us the who, what, why, how they were able to get hot again and get back on track.
Well, for me, it always starts with the starting pitching, and that's why I think ultimately the Tigers win this division, because all of a sudden Verlander put together two or three really good starts. Max Scherzer was the guy that we saw last year that won the Cy Young Award. Anibal Sanchez is very good, and, you know, Rick Porcello has taken the next step, and then he's in the final vote of the All-Star voting, and, you know, the Tigers are hopeful maybe an injury or a pitcher that won't make it to the All-Star game will open up a spot for Porcello, because he certainly is deserving. He's won 11 games this year. But, you know, the pitching all of a sudden got hot again. And I think that when you have the star-studded rotation that the Tigers do, eventually those losing streaks are probably not going to be as long as maybe some other teams. And I think it's what we're seeing right now with the Tigers.
Okay, we're talking about the Detroit Tigers with Mario Impemba tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Okay, Detroit's starting pitching, that obviously is the ace in the hole. But when you face difficult stretches, give us a sense of how he was able to respond to that type of adversity.
Well, Justin's one of those guys that's a tinkerer. I mean, he's never really satisfied. He's probably one of the hardest workers in Major League Baseball, and he got off to a slow start. You know, they went back to the drawing board. They checked out some of the starts that he did well in. They noticed maybe a little tweak in his delivery, and all of a sudden, they got him to stand up a little bit taller on the mound, and he started getting his velocity back, and his breaking ball had a little bit more command to it. You know, there was never really a question of whether or not he had lost his fastball or lost his curveball or lost his changeup. Mm-hmm. It was a matter of location. And I think that one adjustment that he made gave him better location. And I think that, you know, when a guy is supremely as talented as Justin is, you're always looking for that edge, and I think that's why he just continues to work hard.
You know, Mario, you've seen it all. You've covered professional baseball for over 30 years. I mean, what is your personal belief in terms of when pitchers, when they're going through a bit of a slump, to get them settled down and to bust out of it?
Well, you know, I think one of the things about starting pitching is that it can be, you know, it can fluctuate from year to year. I mean, don't forget, Verlander was the guy that once lost 17 games at the season. It's not easy. As Jim Leland always used to love to say, the other team gives out scholarships, too. They're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, you know, even guys like Verlander that have done it over and over and over at a very high level, they get into funks. I mean, that's the nature of baseball, and that's why video has become so big, and that's why pitching coaches are so underappreciated, because they will notice little nuances to what a guy is doing on the mound to try and get him back. And I think that Jeff Jones, the Tigers pitching coach, really deserves a lot of credit for what he's been able to do, not only with Verlander, but every pitcher on the staff.
You know, with Verlander, how big of an impact was that offseason hernia surgery?
Well, you know, I don't know, and that's a great question, and it's certainly one that Justin doesn't like to talk about because he doesn't like excuses. But, you know, I think it did mess up his offseason, the way he went about working out and what he does in the offseason to prepare himself for spring training. So maybe he started behind the eight ball a little bit, but he's such a hard worker that nobody really thought he was going to be able to pitch opening day. And he kind of laughed at that notion in December and told everybody in Detroit, I will be ready for opening day if they select me as the opening day starter. He was, they did, and all of a sudden JV is the JV of old physically. So I don't know that that's had a whole lot of impact, but obviously maybe early in the season, it really messed with the way he liked to work in the offseason.
Okay, Mario Ampemba is joining us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. I'd love for you to also take time to give us an update on Victor Martinez, chosen to be an All-Star for the fifth time. How is the designated hitter? I mean, he's had such a banner season so far in terms of his health. Can you give us an update?
Yeah, I mean, he's had a bad back. He tweaked his back on a swing in Houston on the last road trip. And, you know, I think the Tigers want to be very cautious because he's such a big, big part of the middle of the lineup, and they don't want to mess this thing up. He came back, hit a home run after missing a couple of games in his very first at-bat, but then the very next day, the back started acting up again. It's actually more of his side. So I think that, you know, if they have to not play him over the weekend in Kansas City and get him back after the All-Star break, that would probably be a good thing. But, you know, there's the 4 days built in for off days with this All-Star break, and if he can't play in the All-Star game, he can't play. You know, I think it's more important for him to be ready for the second half, and they'll be very cautious with him.
I certainly agree. That would be in the best interest for the Tigers to perhaps go ahead and rest him. Who has stepped in and really filled that void and provided some power at the plate?
Well, it really is amazing. I mean, J.D. Martinez is a kid that was dispatched by Houston Astros this March. The Tigers were a little bit familiar with him. They knew he had some success in the major league, so they took a flyer on J.D. And signed him to a minor league contract. And all of a sudden, in the month of April, he hits 10 home runs in less than 20 games at AAA.
Wow.
And the Tigers just couldn't ignore him. so they brought him up, and you know, he got some spot starts here and there when they brought him up in the month of May, and all of a sudden in June he really took off, and now in July he continues to do extremely well. I mean, J.D. Martinez is just a great, great story, one of the best stories, I think, in baseball this year. He's finally getting an opportunity to show what he can do on a daily basis, and he's taking advantage of it.
Well, I think one of the great stories in baseball this year, too, is rookie manager Brad Ausmus. He's had to just certainly face a number of ups and downs, roller coasters throughout the season, but what's your assessment of the job that he has done so far and what you have seen?
Oh, he's done a great job. And, you know, the thing about Brad is he's such a different guy than Jim Leland. You know, we had the last 8 years of Leland, you know, walking into his office and Jim would be in his underwear laying on the couch. He didn't care what people thought. He would talk baseball. He was just an old school guy. Where Brad is obviously a lot more polished, but, you know, they both get it done in different ways. And the one thing I've noticed about Brad is that regardless of how well the team is doing or how poorly the team is doing, when you walk into his office every day, he's got the same demeanor. He's got the same energy, and I think that's extremely critical because, to me, it starts at the top. And if you see your manager panic, then the players are going to panic or the players are going to lose confidence in him. Brad's a real smart guy. I mean, very rarely do you walk into a manager's office and hear some of the words that he uses because he's a real educated guy. He's an Ivy League guy. It's a little bit different. It's fun.
Okay, just a few more minutes with Mario Ampemba, the Detroit Tigers television voice. Of course, has a brand new book out. It is titled, If These Walls Could Talk, Detroit Tigers. Kind of give us a summary of the book and where our listeners can go and get a copy.
Well, my co-writer, Mike Eisenberg, who is the coordinating producer at Fox Sports Detroit, kind of talked me into doing this book. I really didn't want to. You know, I thought, you know, here in Detroit, the main guy has always been Ernie Harwell. He's, you know, he's the gold standard of broadcasters. And I felt, you know, I really didn't have enough time as a big league broadcaster to be writing a book, but he convinced me the Tigers are doing so well, let's get it done, and we wrote one, and it basically starts from my minor league days, some goofy stories about what happens in the minor leagues, up to when I broadcasted for the Angels, and now currently with the Detroit Tigers. So it's a very easy read. It's not a read where you're going to find dirt about players. It's not a tell-all book. That's not the purpose of it. It's just a book to talk about some of my experiences with big league players. And it's available at all Barnes & Noble stores, barnesandnoble.com, triumphbooks.com, and or Amazon as well. So we hope you pick it up.
Mario, how difficult was it to go through that 2003 season when the team had the record of 119 losses?
You know, it's a great question, and I get it a lot. And I tell people the same thing every single time. It really wasn't difficult for me because, you know, I spent about 10 years broadcasting minor league baseball, and just to get an opportunity to do it in the big leagues, regardless of how good or how bad the team is, when you walk to the ballpark every day and your office is a broadcast booth and you're looking at a big league field, life's pretty good. So, you know, despite the fact that we lost 119 games that year, you know, you still try and maintain your energy. You still try and be as positive as you can. And that's what we did, and that's how we got through it.
Is there a particular memory that stands out the most, your time with the Tigers?
Boy, there are quite a few, because in my opinion, really, since 2006, this has been the glory days of Tigers baseball. I mean, they've been to the playoffs a couple of four times. They've been to the World Series a couple of times. But the Maglio-Ordóñez home run off Houston Street to put the Tigers in the World Series, the walk-off home run in 2006, is probably at the top of that list. But, you know, right behind are the Justin Verlander no-hitters, the Armando Galarraga almost perfect game, which should have been a perfect game. There have been a lot, but those probably stand at the top.
You know, I certainly enjoyed reading about, in terms of your broadcasting journey, going from the minor leagues and that experience. Would you mind sharing? We have a couple more minutes. Would you mind sharing that tonight with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I started back in 1987. You know, I just graduated from Michigan State University, and there was an opening in Peoria, Illinois, to do minor league baseball for the Cubs Class A affiliate, and so that's what I did. I mean, I started on that track. I either wanted to broadcast big league baseball or be an NBA announcer, and baseball presented itself first. So I spent about 10 years in the minors, you know, just trying to find that first big league opportunity, and it finally happened in 1995 with the Angels, and I've been in the big league since. So, but I wouldn't trade it. You know, there were some really tough times. I didn't make any money. The bus rides, the pulling the tarp, the answering the phones, the selling tickets, the selling advertising. None of that stuff is really easy, but I wouldn't trade a minute of it because I made some great friends. I learned the game of baseball. I learned how to broadcast the game of baseball, and it really was a tremendous experience for me.
Okay, as we get ready to close out our interview with Mario Empemba, the television voice of the Detroit Tigers, I definitely want to get your pulse on, is this team, 2014, are the Detroit Tigers built to win it all this season?
I think so. I think they do need to make some adjustments to the bullpen. They need a few more arms. Joe Nathan has come around now as the closer. Jabba Chamberlain's been really good. Albuquerque's been really good. But they need a few more arms in the bullpen to get them through the stretch run and to get them past Oakland and some other teams once we get to the postseason. But definitely, they've got, you know, two of the greatest hitters in the game right now in the middle of their lineup. They've got a great rotation. They've got some great veteran presence, some good young talent. So it's a really well-built team, and I think it does have a chance to go all the way.
Okay, the Detroit Tigers television voice Mario Empemba has been joining us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Congratulations on all your success. And, of course, the title of the book is If These Walls Could Talk, Detroit Tigers, Stories from the Detroit Tigers Dugout, Locker Room, and Press Box. It was an honor. Thank you so much, Mario.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Take care.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR.